Today, when we were planning the worship services, today is the International Communion Sunday, so that churches all throughout the world have come to a place, if they choose, to celebrate communion. And so that is one reason why we are celebrating communion today, is because we want to identify with the church in the world, throughout the world, that is celebrating today as well. As I was preparing for this message and what we could reflect on for a few moments, the drama of that night that Jesus was betrayed, the drama of that really struck home to me. And so I will be reflecting on that a little bit and adding some of my commentaries in here as we proceed together. Excuse me, I'm just going to get my water. Imagine for a moment that we have been all invited to a drama, and this is a special theater. It's a theater in the round, and it's not a very big theater. It's a theater that maybe seats 125 people, and so it's a smaller theater. We're all pretty close to the action, and as we come into the door. Through the door, there's a sign on the top that says, Communion, the Feast of Destiny. And so we walk in and we come around and we sit down and we look at the stage and we notice some things on the stage. We notice that there's a table there. The table has some food on it. It has some fruit and some kind of flatbreads that don't have yeast. And also there's some wine to drink, and there's a number of other things that there would be on this table. We also notice that on one end that there are other, and this table's not very high, it's a low table, and so there aren't any chairs there. The people sit around the table on cushions or on blankets, and at one end there are some more blankets, and we notice that, I wonder what those are there for. And on the other end of this little theater is another little table. And on this table, there is a jug of water, there's a basin, and there's a towel. And so we come in, we gather around, and as we are, the mumbling kind of goes down, and people have kind of got to know who's sitting next to them, the action starts. And in some of these big men, they start walking in, and we wonder who these guys are, but as we know from the title that this has to do with some kind of a communion service. And so we realize that the disciples are coming in. And disciples like Peter and Andrew and James and John, they're fishermen. And Jesus called them. And they are there on this day. Philip and Bartholomew come walking in. And these guys are kind of talking about various things. And Thomas and Matthew. Well, you know, Matthew is the guy who was a tax collector, and so he might be dressed a little bit different. And then there's James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot. And we know, they're 12 here. But it seems like the list of people coming in isn't stopped there, and some of the women start to come in as well. And in John, as you read through the book of the Gospel of John, you realize that women had a very important part in the meals that Jesus has been part of. The first miracle was at the request of his mother, and his mother asked Jesus, "Can you turn this water into wine?" And just shortly before this meal, they met in Bethany, and Mary, who was a friend of Jesus, took some very expensive perfume and broke it. And poured it over the feet of Jesus. And so women are part of this communion as well. And so we know some of them, particularly Mary, the mother of Jesus. And they come in, and all of a sudden, we see this man coming walking in, average-looking man. And we know that's Jesus. And so people understand, okay, now it's time to get started. And they have this meal together, and they're sitting down, and the women are sitting over here, and they pass the meal to the women, and so on. And just about as Jesus is going to get up to go to the table over there that has the jug and the basin on it, there's a knock on the door. And everybody kind of freezes. A knock on the door? Like, what is that? And so there's a knock again. And instead of going to where the basin is, Jesus changes his direction, and he goes and opens the door. And there's a stranger at the door. And this person walks in and kind of frustrated, not knowing quite where she is. And she comes in, and Jesus said, "Hi, can we help you?" And she says, "Well, I'm not sure where I am. I came and I was walking down the streets of Lethbridge, and I turned this corner, and there was this beautiful door, and the door had the light around it, and I decided to walk in, and so I'm here." And Jesus says, "Well, come on in. What's your name?" And she says, "Well, my name is Sally." And "Sally, what brings you here?" And she says, "I'm not sure what brings me here. I just know that I've gone through an awful divorce with my husband. I just know that my kids have all rejected me, and I know that I just lost my job. And I know that I put some money together so I could at least buy some food and so on, but somebody stole that. And so here I am." And Jesus said, "Sally, you've come to the right place." And so he invites Sally to come and brings her in and ushers her in, and she sits down next to his mother. And so Sally is part of this feast and doesn't understand what's going on. This is like a new world. Like, what's so amazing? Like, she's in another world, another culture, and these people are wondering, who is this person? She doesn't look like us. She doesn't dress like us. And yet somehow Jesus welcomed her in. And she's part of this feast. And so Sally looks at what's going on, and Jesus continues his journey and goes over to the basin and to the jug and the towel, and he takes off his coat and so on, and puts a towel around his waist, and he comes to his disciples and he washes their feet one by one. And at that time, everything goes quiet because they've never experienced this before. That Jesus, the Master, Jesus, who is the one who they followed, has become one of the lowest servants. Not even the Jewish servants would wash the feet of those in the house. These were servants from another country that usually washed the feet of the guests who came in. And so Jesus washed first the feet, and he came down and came along, and finally he got to Peter, and Peter said, whoa, don't wash my feet. I'm not worthy of this. And Jesus says, "Peter, I need to wash your feet. Otherwise, you're not part of me." And Peter finally says, "Well, then wash my hands and wash my head and wash everything." And Jesus said, no, you are clean. And I don't need to wash everything. I just need to wash your feet. And so Peter reluctantly gives in and allows Jesus to wash his feet. And the next one that he comes over to wash is Judas. And as he bends over to put the bowl down for Judas, he makes a little quip, and Jesus says, "Not everyone here is clean." And so as Sally looks at Jesus, she knows that his eyes are eyes of love and compassion. And she looks at the eyes of Judas, and they look hollow. There is no life there. It's like there's nothing there. But Jesus washes his feet. And he sits down. And then he takes the basin. And he comes over to where Sally is sitting on the floor, and he says, "Sally, I'd like to wash your feet too." And she says, "Oh, no, you can't wash my feet. I don't even know. I've just arrived here, and I don't understand what this is all about." That's right. So let me explain that. The people that are part of this feast here are disciples of mine. I've asked them to follow me, and they have opened their hearts and their lives, and they have come, followed me. And Sally says, well, yeah, but, you know, all that I've been through, I don't deserve this. I just, you know, I'm not a good enough person for this. And Jesus says, Sally, it's not about being good enough. It's about being here with me. Will you be my disciple? And she thinks and reflects. She thinks and reflects. So what does that mean to be your disciple? And Jesus said, and you can hear this conversation going on, your disciple, to be disciple of mine means that you open your life and your heart to me. And my love enters you, and I enter you. It's kind of mystical, but it's real. And so she began reflecting on that and thinking about that, and she says, wow, I've never experienced the love that I've seen here tonight. Yes, you can wash my feet. And so as Jesus pulls the basin up and she puts her feet in, the tears start to come, tears of joy, tears of sadness, tears, and the women around her start to have these tears as well. This is amazing experience. And finally she settles down and she realizes, yeah, I belong. I belong. I wanted to belong all my life, and now I belong. And so she takes her place again, and Jesus continues to wash the feet of the women as well. He puts the basin back, he puts the pitcher back, and he puts his clothes back on. And then he starts to teach them some things. He starts to teach them about what this journey is going to be like. But before he does that, he says, you know, one thing I want you to know, and this is a new commandment. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And that was an amazing teaching. But as he was teaching, also he was talking about this one person and amongst them who's going to betray him. And so one of the disciples asked from outside of the table to that side of the table, said, can you ask who that is? And Jesus said, this is the person that I'm going to give this bread to. And he dipped this bread into a plate, and he gave this to Judas. And he told Judas, go out and do what you have to do. And you can just imagine, it was like the atmosphere just changed so drastically, because it went from this place where Jesus talked about this love to this place where, like, what's happening now? And he walks out, and as he walks out, it's like he didn't even look back. He just kept going, and the door was open, and it was black on the other side of the door, and he closed the door, and it was like this weird echo that went through the building. And everybody breathed a sigh of relief. Whew. And Jesus continued the meal. And he continued to show what this love was about. He also said, you know, when I washed your feet, I'm your Lord and your teacher, and I washed your feet, and I want you to do that as well. So there are a number of things that Jesus left with this group of disciples that night that really helped them to identify and become people of God. And then as he was talking about this journey that he was going to go on, and wasn't long, and he was Peter got into this discussion with him, and Jesus said, you know, this journey I'm going to go on, you can't come with me. It's I have to go alone. And Peter said, no, I want to come with you. And Jesus said, no, Peter, you can't. As a matter of fact, before the rooster crows, you're going to disown me three times. And you can imagine what that felt like. One disciple leaves. Sally is sitting there. Another disciple, he says, he's going to disown him. But there's a tremendous love within this group that Sally had never experienced before. And so Jesus continued his teaching, and he broke the bread, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And then he passed the cup around as well, and he said, "This is my blood. This is the new covenant." And Sally wondered, "Wow, this is amazing. I've met my destiny. How could it be that I walked into this and it's changed my life?" And then we realize as we're sitting in this theater that this is not about them. It's about us as we sit here. For this event has had an impact on all of our destiny. We come here again and again to be reminded that at the core of our faith is the one who was crucified, is the one who shed his blood, is the one who was killed. At the core of our faith, this Jesus is not dead. He's alive, and he goes from the cross to the tomb, to the empty tomb. And so we have a risen Savior, but we always come back to this part of our destiny, that without this, without this celebration, we could so easily lose our direction.